Mother Prasuti, do you speak French?
No.
Fabien.
I did it at school, but I seriously can't do it.
Okay. There were some French people here earlier. Okay.
Do they just speak English? They can't speak English.
No. One of them did. The others didn't. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 22, Elements of Material Creation, Text 29. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Prakriti, Purusha, Cheti, Vikalpa, Purusharshava, Esha, Vaikarika, Sargo, Guna, Vyatikaratmaka, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Prakriti Purushascheti, Vikalpa Purusharshava, Esha Vaikarika Sargo, Guna Vyati Karatmaka, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Prakriti Purushascheti, Vikalpa Purusharshava, Esha Vaikarika Sargo, Guna Vyati Karatmaka, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Prakriti Purushascheti, Vikalpa Purusharshava, Esha Vaikarika Sargo, Guna Vyati Karatmaka, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha,
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead said,
Prakriti,
Prakriti,
nature,
nature,
Purusha,
Purusha,
the enjoyer,
the enjoyer,
the living entity,
the living entity,
cha,
cha,
and
iti,
thus, the kalpa,
complete distinction,
Purusha Rishabha,
Purusha Rishabha,
O best among men,
O best among men,
Esha,
Esha,
this,
this,
Vaikarika,
Vaikarika,
subject to transformation,
subject to transformation,
Sarga,
Sarga,
creation,
creation,
Guna,
Guna,
of the modes of nature,
of the modes of nature,
Vyatikara,
Vyatikara,
the agitation,
the agitation,
Atmaka,
Atmaka,
based upon,
based upon.
Translation: the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O best among men, material nature and its enjoyer are clearly distinct. This manifest creation undergoes constant transformation, being founded upon the agitation of the modes of nature. Purport. The word Purusha indicates the living entity and also the Supreme Lord who is the supreme living entity. Material nature, subject to transformation, is full of duality, whereas the Lord is one and absolute. Material nature is dependent on its creator, maintainer, and annihilator. The Lord, however, is completely self-reliant and independent. In the same way, material nature is unconscious and dull, lacking self-awareness, whereas the Supreme Lord is self-sufficient omniscience. The individual living entity shares the eternality, bliss, and knowledge of the personality of Godhead, and is also completely distinct from material nature. The word sarga here refers to the material amalgamation of the body, which covers the living entity. The material body undergoes constant transformation and is thus clearly different from the living entity, who is eternally the same. In the transcendental kingdom of God, there is no conflict or agitation caused by creation, maintenance, and distraction, as exhibited in the material world. There, all variety is resolved in the transcendental loving experience of Krishna consciousness, the natural constitutional position of the soul. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Prakriti Purushascheti Vikalpa Purusharshaba Esha Vaikarika Sarugo Guna Vyati Karatmaka. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O best among men, material nature and its enjoyer are clearly distinct. This manifest creation undergoes constant transformation, being founded upon the agitation of the modes of nature. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachayane Nera Vishesha Shunyavadi Pastrachya Deshtane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasudhi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchikalpa Charubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Vaditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namo.
Do you want to put it
up? Yeah. Or down, or not pointed at me. So Uddhava has placed his questions to Lord Krishna in regard to the material creation, the elements of material creation, how everything is structured here within this material world. And he's concluded his questions by making the point that to the great majority of people, it appears that there's no difference between the soul and the body, if there is a soul. If there is a soul, the soul has actually merged into material existence and become part of it, and is now inseparable from it. Just as we gave yesterday the example of If you mix sugar into some drink, it just becomes absorbed. When you mix salt into food, if you're cooking, same thing happens, and you can no longer find the salt. There's the salt. You can't do it. It's merged. It's, for all intents and purposes, at least we can say, it has merged and become one with the preparation, with the drink, whatever it may be. So Uddhava has concluded his questions, or at least the final part of his actual questions, was that people, suddenly people think like this, and it could be argued, it looks like this. Where's the soul? We don't see the soul within the body. And then he glorified the Lord that who can understand this? Who could explain these things? Who is there who could? Who's really qualified? Whose are those? Who is qualified to really analyze and understand these things properly and explain them clearly in truth? Who can do that? Only you. Only you, or someone who is directly empowered by you, and they are only able to do it because they're empowered by you. So here I am in your company. For me, under these circumstances, you're the right person. Please explain. Otherwise, the illusory energy, the material energy, is so complex, so deep, so powerful, and it works in so many incredible ways that who other than you or those empowered by you can really grasp clearly how the material nature is working. Someone may be able to understand something, but then they turn around, there's another feature of the material nature which is just completely astonishing and mind-boggling and which you can't just understand just like that. So it's a big picture, the functioning of the material world and the position of the living entity within the material world. It's a big, big subject matter. And to really understand clearly, there has to be a detailed type of explanation. Otherwise, as with so many things, it's easy to oversimplify. And when you oversimplify, you miss out some things. So here, Lord Krishna is beginning his answer, and so many points have been made how people analyze the material nature in different ways in terms of the ingredients. Some say there's 26, some say there's 25, some say 13, some say 7, some say 5, but Lord Krishna first of all answers the last question. Yes, it might appear unsystematic, but for someone who's an expert, they can do like that. Srila Prabhupada sometimes would be asked a question, he would answer another question. But really it was the right answer because of certain considerations that were there. So Krishna's beginning at the end. What is the position of the living entity in the material nature? I mean, have they merged that particular point? Have they merged? The answer is no. This is how he begins his answer. Material nature and its enjoyer are clearly distinct. And why? What at least is one of the very fundamental distinctions or factors in the picture which shows the distinction. Well, one of the very important, very basic, very essential parts of the whole picture is that material nature is constantly transforming, constantly, constantly, constantly. Here we are sitting here in the class, and our bodies are feeling like this, like that. we're sitting okay at the moment. In a few minutes, we won't be feeling okay. We'll have to move, lift up a leg, shift, you know, this way or that, or something, something, something. Why? Because the material nature has transformed, is transforming. And this is just part of that. The fact that we are sitting here, and by the end of the class, no one will be sitting in exactly the same position they were sitting in. Because some muscle did something, or some nerve did something, or some something who, you know, things got a little pain developed, an itch developed. Let's just see. Oh, look. There's one ant. Where's he gone? Oh, there he is. Oh. He's on Corliss's dirty. He's really into it. He's moving. He's moving around. He's not sitting down in Bhagavatam class. So material nature is constantly transforming. The living entity is constantly constant. Well, is constant. Yes. This is an important point which Srila Prabhupada has made, is that the body and the mind are always changing, but still, and all of us, when we were small children, our bodies were completely very, very different from what they are now. Our minds, when we were little children, were very different from how our minds are now. Our emotional conditions then were very different from how they are now. So, but still, particularly after adults, so many years later, after our childhood, every one of us, we all know, there's a very clear sense. It is not just like, you know, maybe, or is it, or it could be. It's clear we are the same person. It's very clear. We are the same entity that was there when, as little children, we first started becoming conscious of this world. At least we can recall now different experiences. When you're a child, of course, little child, obviously you're conscious of what's going on, but as you grow up, you forget. So who here remembers their first birthday party? I assume there was one. There was something. There was probably some party. Family members got together and something happened. But at least myself, and I assume with yourselves, I can't remember anything. Zero. Literally nothing. So, yes. But still, as we start becoming more conscious, like when we go to school, we start becoming more conscious, the consciousness becomes sort of systematized, and we start really working with our consciousness. So we can remember different things from school. But not so much. But we know clearly, it is not like a debatable point. We know, today I am the same person as that person who I remember as means me as a child. Even though the body has changed drastically, the mind, the emotions, one's sort of inner subtle being has also changed drastically, but still we know we're the same person. So that, it may not exactly be self-realization, but it's an element in self-realization to understand this point, see this point, and appreciate that this point is a reality. That there is something there who is me, the actual being, who is there as this sort of support, the foundation of the bodily, my bodily condition, my psychological condition, and that entity has not changed, even though the body and mind have changed a lot. So, this is the first point Lord Krishna makes. That one of the very first ways you can start to understand that me and material nature, me and my body are different, is this point. Constancy and inconstancy. Yes. So, in the purport, some points are drawn out. Actually, we made the point a few days ago. One of the recent days. It says here, material nature is dependent on its creator, maintainer, and annihilator. But the Lord is completely self-reliant and independent. So we gave the example, it's from the earlier parts of Srimad Bhagavatam, second or third canto, how the embodied, the jiva soul, conditioned soul, and the material nature with all its material bodies, and the demigods who are managing material nature, they're all interdependent. They're interdependent. If the conditioned soul does not have a body to live in, then he cannot function because he's completely conditioned. He needs that. Just as a person who is addicted to a drug needs the drug, otherwise they become dysfunctional. At least to some degree, there's some parallel there. The living entity is addicted to material existence. The conditioned soul. If he doesn't have a material body and a material situation and material relationships and a material program, he's lost. He just becomes lost. He's dependent on the body and things connected with the body. The body is dependent on the soul. Otherwise, you have, without a soul, you have a dead body. And they're all dependent on the demigods, because the demigods are organizing things and supplying and arranging and managing these things. And without them doing that, the material nature, the whole material world would become dysfunctional, and who knows what would happen. Well, actually, what would happen would be everything would fall to pieces. Everything material would fall to pieces. And the demigods, if they don't have a conditioned soul, some conditioned souls to manage, then they become unemployed demigods. And they will just sit around in the heavenly planets and sleep. Eat, sleep, and just their lives will be empty. So they're all interdependent, these three. The conditioned soul, the material bodies, and the demigods. They're all interdependent. But then you have the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those three are interdependent amongst themselves, but then they're also dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not that their position is complete just in that the mutual interdependency. That is not the end of the story of how they are, where they are, how they function, what they can do, what they can't do. That is not the end of the story at all. They're all dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even the demigods, sometimes the demons, the big demons, attack them. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead has to intervene to save them, even though they are the demigods. But it happens from time to time. Even the demigods die, and then they have to go off to some other next birth in so many cases. And that is supervised by the Supreme Lord. Upadrast Anumanta cha. He is overseeing. And upadrashta, looking on from above, overseeing, and anumanta, permitting, allowing things to happen. He is giving the demigods their powers. And when they die, when the demigod dies, well, for example, in the ninth canto in one purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that every living entity, when they first enter the material world, they take a birth as a Lord Brahma. Means very, very big, very powerful living entity compared to us. That means we've all been Lord Brahmas. But where are our powers? Where are the powers of Lord Brahma, which we had? We lost them. They were loaned to us by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when we finished our term as Lord Brahma, and then unfortunately we didn't go back to Godhead, many Lord Brahmas do, but we didn't. We then took birth again. We took birth in whatever situation. But whatever situation it was, it's extremely unlikely that we were again born as Lord Brahmas. So whatever situation we were born in the next life, we didn't have the powers of a Lord Brahma. So the demigods are dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we're also dependent. And the material nature is also dependent. But he is independent. He can do what he likes. And therefore we give the example. There are many examples. When Krishna comes, Sambhavam Yatma Mayaya. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I come in my original body, Atma Maya, Sambhavami. I come in Sambhavami, in the same nature, in the same body, Atma Maya, of my spiritual potency. So Krishna comes in his original body, and when Krishna first appeared in the prison house of Kamsa with Vasudeva and Devaki, he immediately started speaking to them in Sanskrit. Immediately. Us, with all due respect, you're all nice devotees, but still the fact is that all of us, it took us probably plus or minus 1 year before we could even really say, Ma, Papa with confidence. And the rest of the time it was just some nonsense. Wow. Such nonsense. It's shocking, actually. But Krishna immediately appeared and immediately spoke perfect Sanskrit. And started doing amazing things. He made all the guards fall asleep. The guards were not meant to fall asleep, and they knew it. If they were caught sleeping, that would have been it. They would have probably just been executed on the spot. By the power of the Lord Himself, they all fell asleep. By His power, the prison doors just opened, and then they came to the Yamuna. It was flooding, and the Yamuna stopped flooding, and a path appeared. The water separated. And Vasudev carried Krishna to the other side of the Yamuna, just like that. This is Krishna making these things happen. And then as time went on, Krishna did not age. And so on like that. There's so many things which Krishna did. Which show very clearly that He is not a conditioned soul like us. He is not under the material nature like us, but rather He is above the material nature, and when He wants, He can just exert whatever control He likes over the material nature. Like, for example, in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's the description of the rasa dance. The gopis were dancing with Krishna. And of course, they and Krishna, they were all relishing this so much. It was just such a wonderful experience. And they didn't want it to stop. They didn't want to stop. When I was young, I don't know if I should even mention this. There was a popular song called I Could Have Danced All Night. Is it? I didn't even know that. I Could Have Danced All Night. That's enough. In other words, you know, the idea is, oh, so happy, everything was just, oh. But now the gopis dancing with Krishna and Krishna dancing with the gopis, that was really so amazing that even though they did dance all night, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. Krishna had to extend the length of the night to the length of a night of Lord Brahma. 4,320,000,000 years, how's that? Dancing. They dance all night. Try dancing for a night of Brahma. So, but they were able to do that. Of course, they were empowered by Krishna. And, in other words, they all just transcended. By Krishna's influence, they just transcended the modes of material nature and came to a point just of being completely independent by Krishna's arrangement. So it's very amazing. Krishna's very amazing. And the material nature is dependent on Him. We are dependent on Him, but He is not dependent on us. He is not dependent on the material nature. He's not dependent on the demigods. He is independent. And when we take shelter of Him, we become independent. This is the process of Krishna consciousness. What is the process of Krishna consciousness? It is a process for becoming independent of the modes of material nature, of the whole material nature. So, in the spiritual world, the point is made in the purport, in the spiritual world, all these fluctuations of material nature, they are, what's the term?
Absent.
Not absent, yeah, absent, but distinct by their absence. What's that? There's a
conspicuous
by their absence. Yeah, all the transformational characteristics of the material nature are conspicuous by their absence. There's no aging. There's no creation, maintenance, and then distraction. Nothing. You know, you don't need to take out a warranty on your motor car in Goloka Vrindavan, on your bullock cart. There's no need to take out a warranty because it is Satchitananda. It will not break down, deteriorate. It's constant. This is the nature of everything in the kingdom of God, Sat. Everything is eternal. Or the term Sat can be and is sometimes translated as existent. Because if something is quote-unquote existent, but it's constantly changing, then in reality it is not really existent. Certainly not in an absolute sense. Because even all of us, our bodies have changed while we've been sitting here the last half hour. We may not be able to measure it or see it, but it's happened. That body which we were inhabiting half an hour ago has changed and is not exactly that same body. Just like, you know, if you have a motor car, you change the steering wheel. It's not exactly the same motor car now. It's changed. It's, you know, somewhat subtle, but it is certainly not exactly the same car. The other night we gave the example of Ned Kelly's gun. Those of you who are there would remember. Heard of Ned Kelly?
Yeah, in Australia.
That's it.
And the one, is it Burry John's wife was the actress,
yeah,
in the movie? Is
that's
that?
Right.
In America?
That's right. Yeah. So Ned Kelly, anyway, was a big criminal in Australia. Hundred and something years ago. But anyway, they caught him and they hanged him, and he had a gun. So they put his gun in the museum, Ned Kelly's gun. But this is now 100 and something years ago. And the gun deteriorated. They, first of all, they had to replace the handle. And then after some more years, they had to replace the barrel. After some more years, they had to replace the body of the gun. But it is still in the museum with a sign, Ned Kelly's gun. But it is completely another thing. It just is not Ned Kelly's gun. I mean, it may look like it, but it's not actually Ned Kelly's gun. So in that sense, the term existent, and Krishna discusses things in these terms in Bhagavad Gita, that those things which are constantly transforming have no real existence. And only something which is spiritual can be said to be truly existent because it's constant. Things which are changing from second to second or from time to time, it's got a type of existence, but it is not that sat existence. It means solid existence. It means permanent existence. So in the spiritual world, well, sometimes it's said, like in this material world, there is the force of time. And the force of time provides the sort of environment, you could say, within which all the transformations, material transformations, take place. If there was no time, then there would be no question of transformations. And indeed, in Brahma Samhita, the point is made that how does this material creation stop? How is it destroyed? What happens to make it become destroyed? The answer is, the Lord withdraws His Kala Shakti. The Lord withdraws time. Then the whole material nature, everything stops. And then later, the Lord glances over the inert material nature, and through that glance, different things enter material nature. One of those things is the Kala Shakti. And when the Kala Shakti stimulates the karma of the living entities, then it's like when you switch on the light. You switch the switch, oh, there it is. Just like that. Time starts functioning. The karma of the living entities starts functioning. And then that's how life, in terms of active life, in the material universes, begins again. So in Brahma Samhita, the Lord Brahma at least says that time is conspicuous by its absence in the spiritual world. So what does that mean? Does it mean everything is just suspended animation, like a photograph? Photograph means you capture some particular situation and you freeze it permanently. Is that what's going on in the spiritual world? No. People are doing things. There is day, there is night. So how could it be said there is no time? So the point there is no time in the essential sense of time in the material world, that it provides that environment within which the process of destruction takes place. You may say, well, there's also creation, there's also maintenance. But they're just little interludes before destruction. So actually, material existence means, really, it's a process of destruction. That's what material existence is. But in spiritual existence, in the spiritual world, time does not act like that. What is time doing? Well, at the end of the purport, a little mention is made. There, in the spiritual world, all variety is resolved in the transcendental loving experience of Krishna consciousness. What is time doing in the spiritual world? Simply providing an environment for Krishna's enjoyment and the enjoyment of the devotees in their service to Krishna. That's all. So when Krishna wants the day to be longer, it becomes longer. And when, if ever, Krishna wants the day to become shorter, it becomes shorter. And it's just as Krishna wants, and how does he want? He wants for his pastimes. So it is working like that. And, you know, of course we generally don't work in the material sense, just working in some job. But people who work in a job, generally they don't like it so much. So wouldn't it be good for them if they could just do like that, if time was flexible, and they could just think, well, you know, I'm tired of this. Let's speed up time, and so it's time to finish for the day. But you can't do that. But in Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna can do that. And even the devotees can do that by Krishna's mercy. And even it can function in different ways in the same place with different people. For someone, time is being extended. For someone, time is being shortened in the spiritual world. But they're there in the same place. Anyway, perhaps we're getting a little esoteric about it. But the point is basically, everything is resolved in the spiritual world in terms of the loving exchanges between Krishna and the devotees. So therefore in the spiritual world, every night is a full moon night. But when Radharani wants to come running out to escape from home and come running out and meet Krishna, suddenly, whenever that is, it becomes the no moon night. Suddenly, there was full moon, there it was. Radharani goes running out, suddenly the moon disappears, gone. So she can secretly run through the forest and no one will see her. Because if there's a full moon, it's quite easy to see someone. So just see, this is how things are working in the spiritual world. And Vrindadevi, she is arranging the forest settings for Radha and Krishna to meet in suitable ways. One night, Radharani is wearing red. The forest becomes red. All the flowers are red. The birds are red. Some of the animals are red. The next night, Radharani's wearing blue. Suddenly, all the flowers are blue. The same flowers. The same animals. They're all blue. And trees, one night they produce one fruit, the next night another fruit. These things are going on in the spiritual world. All, not just going on, but all in terms of the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare.
Any comment or question? Yes.
When you were talking about time, yeah, I was thinking about when you're just reading books, how many amazing things happen in that small amount of time. There was one man, an elderly man, he was about 70 years old. I gave him a book, and I was asking people, what is the meaning of life? So he said, yes, when you die, it's just over, things start to earth. And then I said, just hang on a minute, I've got a book for you, I'm going to show you something. And I gave him the coming back book. He said, oh, it looks interesting. He said, okay, I'll take it. And he took it. And then his wife, who was sitting in the car there, I'll take it, but I don't think I'll be interested in it. And then his wife said to him, you can give it to me. And then he gave it to her. So she gave her the book, and then I spoke to her afterwards. And you know what she said to me? I'm amazing how shocking people can reveal their minds to you. She turned around to me,
He doesn't believe in afterlife because he's just waiting for me to die so he can marry his girlfriend. I'm a complete stranger to this lady, you know. She's about to... I never had anybody do that to me in my life. This is getting very confidential now. So I said, no, you shouldn't think like that. I'm sure your husband loves you very much. He said, no, he doesn't. He just wants to, he's just waiting for me to die so he can marry his girlfriend.
Hare Krishna.
I was just discussing with a friend of mine recently about how we were all took the position as Lord Brahma, and what Brahma experiences according to the scriptures, how he finds himself alone on the lotus flower, and then he does the sound tapa, he performs tapasya. So we've all been through this, and directly had enlightenment from Krishna how to create. But then due to association with the material nature, we fell down.
Yeah.
Became contaminated.
It's amazing. We had all that knowledge, all that power, Shakti, but it was all taken away.
And even direct interaction with Krishna.
Yeah. Quite a bit of direct interaction with Krishna. Krishna, Vishnu, you know, constantly coming and going.
In fact, every day of Lord Brahma, Krishna comes.
Yeah. And every day he comes, at least in Vishnu forms, many times. Many, many times.
See how powerful material energy is.
Yeah. That was Uddhava's concluding point, was this material nature is just so unbelievable. Only you can explain it, understand it, and help us to understand it. Otherwise it's just far too much. Yes.
I'd also just like to mention something about time. So you know, in the material world everything is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. So with time, for instance, say for instance the cupboard tips over or something, or some heavy weight, or I don't know, something happens like that, and now you're like standing there, you're holding it, and you're waiting for somebody to come and help you, and it's like, dire straits, and you know, and that, it can maybe just be like 30 seconds or 45 seconds or something, but it feels like hours, you know, and you're under such strain. Whereas when you've got something really nice, you know, maybe you're sat there eating your ice cream and for like 5 minutes or, you know, however long it takes before it melts. But that just goes past in a flash. So
yeah.
It's like, and like in the mornings when you've got to get the kids up for school, you've got maybe 3/4 of an hour to an hour, you know, to do that. But that hour just goes by so fast, you know. Whereas when you, like from at work, you know, from like 2 to 4 in the afternoon, that takes forever. Like, you know what I mean? Time,
yes.
It does these stretchy things.
It's flexible.
Contractions.
It's an energy.
Yeah. So even in this world, people experience that aspect of time. The clock
right.
is just ticking, tick, tick, tick.
Right.
But still, that experience of the time is so different.
Right. Yes.
Raj, when Krishna was in public with Arjuna was in distress in the conversation unfolding. What was the situation here with Uddhava and Krishna? There's a conversation happening.
Yeah, right. Uddhava's not distressed. Arjuna was objecting. Uddhava's not objecting. So Bhagavad Gita and Uddhavad Gita, they have different functions. Bhagavad Gita is particularly to help people become devotees. And Uddhava Gita is for devotees to make progress as devotees. Yeah. It's not really, you know, it's for devotees, Uddhava Gita. It's the next step. After you got Bhagavad Gita, okay, yes, I must be a devotee, right, I'll do it. Then how to be a devotee? That's Uddhava Gita. Srila Prabhupada ki.